Angeles, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Big Red Copcast.
With Ryan Tweedy.
5'11", 200 pounds, pure muscle, from Lincoln, Nebraska.
And Joe Canale.
Joe Canale.
And Mike Canale.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Now, the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Joe.
I'm Mike. Is it working now, Ryan?
It's working great, dude.
Right. It's obviously working, if you're hearing this right now.
Yep.
We are sponsored by Corn Nation.
Yeah, www.cornnation.com.
You don't have to say www anymore.
Well, but there's, you know, we get all demographics. Some old people.
That's right.
That's true.
They put in WW2.
Yeah.
WWE.
Oh, dude, I had a talk today with my dad about his iPhone not receiving calls. My iPhone's broken. I was like, Dad, are you sure it's not on sleep mode? No, it's goddamn broken. Turn it on. Sure shit.
Sleep mode.
Did he apologize to you?
Of course not. He was like, what'd you do to my phone?
Right.
Like, Dad, you're in Nebraska. You're
how could you do that?
1,500 miles away from me.
You don't know. Those hackers, they can get in there.
Yep.
Your dad sounds mean when you do his voice.
Oh, actually, this is what my dad sounds like. I do a spot on Ron Tweedy. All right, boys. Let's go to Times. They wrote a rap song. I have some friends back home that are rappers, and they wrote a rap song.
Nebraska rappers.
Oh, dude, they're actually really good.
All right, we got to hear them.
Nebrappers.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll play one of their songs at the end of the podcast. Everybody can hear.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did. They wrote a song about my dad, and all I remember was I'm Rick Ron Tweedy. That's all I remember. And then it was like,
do you have that on video? Or
no.
Audio?
They only did it. They never recorded it. Wow. But it was really funny. So now we still call
this
him
is,
Ron.
This is the fastest we've ever gotten sidetracked. We went right from the intro into a tangent that was unplanned right away. Yep. That's all right, though.
Let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back.
I'll bring it back like this. Nick Ayersman, the rapper from Nebraska,
uh-huh.
He's the guy that wrote the two songs for the movie. Through these gates.
There we go.
So there all you right. go. That's how we bring it back. Same guy.
And that brings us to Nebraska Cornhuskers. I'm starting to get excited for the football season.
Oh, man.
Because today is the Hall of Fame game in the NFL, which doesn't mean anything.
But a game is being played. And with the team we root for
right.
is playing in it.
We root for the Giants.
Oh, were you pretty stoked that Strahan is not only the world's biggest sellout, but also...
What makes him
now?
The world's biggest sellout? I'm not saying he's not.
But. He's on Good Morning America with Kelly Ripa.
That's not the world's biggest
sellout.
Hey, man,
no way. I'd do that in a second. There's some things I wouldn't do. I'm not going to get into what those things are, just in case someone asked me and I decided to do it.
There's bigger sellouts than that. Come on. Yeah. Kelly Ripa is psychotic, though.
She is crazy. Have you ever... Yeah. Like, she is so skinny.
Yeah.
Who did I see the other day?
She looks like
car?
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
With makeup on.
A little bit. But back to football, hopefully. Yeah. I'm very excited that the season is right around the corner.
Oh, man.
And we are right around the corner from starting... Whoa. Oh, that's the update. What's that mean?
Uh-oh, Cat Stewart has followed me on Twitter.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll
she's
update
young,
you on
Ryan.
People who
really
on people who are following
yeah,
Ryan.
She does look really young. Most of my jokes are about Bieber, though, in her defense.
Wait,
Beaver?
Yeah, about Beaver.
We are getting,
I know,
we are completely sidetracked. I've lost my train of thought.
We're excited about the season,
and we're also going to start doing this every week.
Yeah.
So just imagine how thin the content will be once we're going
every week. But we'll also have content.
We'll have games. We'll have actual content.
Man,
and not what we've been making up the last few months.
Okay, so maybe this is. Do we start now? We should start a new segment called Blowing Up Each Other's Asses or something where we just talk about how great Husker football is going to be this year
I don't think that needs to be a segment. That's the whole podcast. Hopefully.
Is it early enough or is it time we can do a prediction of what their record will be?
Do we want to do it now or do we want to wait until the week before?
Let's wait till the week before, but this is a nice teaser for that.
Yeah.
We did a preview, Ryan and I, like probably 2 months ago. So it'd be interesting
to listen back. Basketball was still playing.
Right. So listening to, we made a bunch of predictions for this season. I think I said they'd be 10-3. But it'd be interesting to see if any of that has changed at this point.
I'm going 11-2.
I am
going 4 And what would add up to 13?
13,000 people just turned this podcast off.
Yeah, no. They're not going to go 4 in anything.
Maybe.
They'll go 4 in something in their like first 5 games. I guess it would be 1 at that point.
I think, I don't know, man.
No, their early season schedule is pretty easy if they can beat Miami.
Dude, look at what we did to Michigan State last year. I mean, if you take out our turnover, if you take
five
out,
turnovers,
you yeah, take yeah. out those turnovers, and we fucking dominated them. I mean, it wasn't even a game.
But those turnovers, though.
I know, right? But that's the thing. Like, that's yeah. five that's plays. Been, that's five
been,
plays.
That's been Nebraska's Achilles heel the past few years.
Like that, the New York Giants.
That and giving up big plays. Big scrambles by quarterbacks over the years have killed Nebraska.
Those kind of quarterbacks always kill Nebraska.
Yeah.
Always. Those, yep. those they're not running quarterbacks.
It's because we don't have the fast defense. We have the big brute defense.
Well, and I don't know if the defensive line is too aggressive or I don't know. I don't know enough about football.
I don't think we have speed players because that's why
but
Miami
they, well,
would always yes. always stop the option was they
but
had
once Nebraska
speed.
Got speed. Players, I don't know what I was watching. There was a highlight of a Lawrence Phillips run, and not like any big game
wasn't
or anything.
That
there,
fast, I mean,
but he was faster yes, he than was. The guys they were playing against.
Well, but he was a man too. Amongst
yes.
boys too.
Yes, he is
like,
a real.
Wasn't he like 6'2" for running back? Just an enormous guy.
He was like,
yeah. I remember mean, when he? Never mind. I'm just stop there.
Like Eric yep. Dickerson, except he didn't mind contact.
Yeah.
He was maybe probably wasn't as fast.
He really didn't mind contact.
But he
no, not at all.
But on the football field. But it's, you know, I hate to lament that. But he was a wasted talent.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the I mean as far as Nebraska, I mean there's every school, every pro sport, we were talking about that guy from that Dutch soccer player, but
oh yeah, Marco van Basten.
There's people like that in all sports where they're just like, what if
they don't make it? Yeah,
but Phillips might be the biggest what if in Nebraska history.
Yeah,
Phillips might be.
He could be. Yeah, that actually, it's an interesting debate to research. Just off the cuff, I don't know that we'll come up with anybody better, but. Yeah. Speaking of a guy whose career might be wasted, and it's another tangent, but my brother texted me the other night on my home phone three times. No, he called me three times, and then he calls my wife's phone, and I see it's him, and then I look at my phone, which was off.
You're talking about Mike?
Okay. Mike, my brother.
Okay.
Yeah, my only brother, Mike.
Okay.
So this is a tangent, but you'll see where I'm going. So. It's my wife's phone with him calling. So I get a little worried, like, oh, why is he calling for me after I see he's just called three times on the phone? I think something's happened. So I answer in a bit of a panic, and Mike's like, did you see it? Did you see it? I'm like, what? And he's like, did you see Paul George's leg? Because he was watching my brother.
I watched
He watched that game, so he saw it live.
Yeah.
And that's about they're not showing that replay anywhere.
No.
I bet on the internet you can find it, but they're not showing that replay, so... I guess it was horrific. You saw it, Mike.
It looked like a right triangle. Like it was. It was a complete 90-degree angle at one point.
And yet, no nerve damage, no soft tissue damage, no ankle or knee damage. Like
how messed up was the? Was it a clean break or was there?
I believe it was a clean break. Well, he had surgery.
He had surgery. Yeah.
So, but they said like as far as that injury went, it was as good as that injury
yeah.
could
sure.
be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If that makes sense. But just horrific. Now, you were saying, Mike, when Theismann's leg broke, it was the upper leg?
I believe it was the upper leg.
No.
I'm almost positive it was. Am I wrong about that?
So hard to break.
Yeah, to break a leg
that's
up
Lawrence,
there?
That's Lawrence Taylor, though, guys.
Well.
Yeah, but Lawrence Taylor, I mean.
Breaking that.
Young Lawrence Taylor.
On Cocaine?
Cocaine. The cocaine can break any bones.
He was on the yayo then.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs.
It's my Lawrence Taylor impression.
I always thought it was the upper leg. We should research that.
Okay. Although when you see the break, when you see the highlight, it's the lower leg.
It was the lower leg?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
upper leg would be incredible.
Oh. The Theismann one, I think, still to this day is the worst.
Krumrie. Remember Krumrie in the Super Bowl?
The ankle,
flopping in the wind.
Floppy ankle.
Who was the guy... was it, I thought it was like Raheem Ismail or some running back for the Raiders that was in a pile and you could and he gets pushed and you see
Napoleon McCallum maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like crunched his leg.
Yeah, and he was still he was in a pile, so his leg didn't move, but the rest of him did.
Yeah.
Just thinking about this.
They are like, and it's one of those things. My reaction was my eyes started welling up with tears. Like I don't do that, but it was my only reaction.
Says the man
was
whose eyes are welling up with tears
right now.
Well, because when I think about it, it was like I screamed, and my wife was putting my son to bed at the time, and she's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And like, and
see, she, panic. This incident struck panic throughout everywhere.
It did. It was bad. It was really,
and this is
really
Paul
awful.
Gasol that
Paul George.
No, Paul George on
and
the Pacers.
I think that was the other thing that really made me sad was it was such an extreme talent too,
and a young guy,
and a young like he's one of the top.
But that's the thing; it's always those
guys.
It's always the good guys because they're the ones that are playing so hard that they'll get their legs.
But you know what happened was that it was non-contact.
But they did a story that the stanchions there
was in the wrong place.
The stanchion, yes. The stanchions in Indianapolis are like 6 feet back of the line.
But,
you know, the
regulations 4 feet, which is where it was.
No, 3'11". 3'11". I mean,
oh well.
But 1 inch could make all the difference in the world on something like that.
1 inch broke his leg.
Yeah.
1 inch broke the dude's leg.
Yeah. Man, and that's what school was that? Was that UNLV or?
It's the what is it called? The Thomas and Mack Arena. Is that where UNLV plays?
It was some college arena.
Then it was. It's got to because it's
yeah,
in
Thomas
Vegas.
And Mack.
Yeah,
1 inch can make the difference.
Yeah, that was nuts.
One inch got both of my wives pregnant.
Hey.
Oh.
All right.
Joe's a polygamist.
Then I only had one at a time.
What else? So what else is going on with Husker football?
Husker football. Well, another thing I was thinking though, slightly related to the Huskers, Will Shields did not make the Hall of Fame this,
which is
this
a joke. It's been a joke since...
Well, but there's guys, there's a backlog in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
They,
like all
they
the
had
receivers...
to let Ray Guy in before he dies.
Sure.
Yep.
He doesn't look good. There are a lot of guys who...
Tim Brown.
Yeah. I think James Lofton, maybe he got in.
Dean Steinkuhler should be in there soon.
No, he shouldn't.
Will Shields certainly should.
Will Shields, I think, was a Pro Bowler every year of his career never missed a game.
No, he was.
Will Shields needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
It's true.
Grant Wistrom.
No. He never made the Pro Bowl, but Grant Wistrom was a very good NFL player.
Sure.
You think Ndamukong Suh will be a first ballot?
No.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, let's see how his career unfolds.
He will not be a first ballot. There's going to be people
picketing the Hall of Fame when they think he's going to get
in. They're not going to pick at the Hall of Fame, but
Warren
there will be
Warren Sapp was a first ballot.
Yeah.
I think Warren
and
Sapp
Warren
is
Sapp's
more personable.
Lawrence Taylor was
on
a first
camera.
Ballot.
Lawrence Taylor
is different.
Lawrence Taylor is one of the five greatest football players ever.
Name the other four. Now.
One, two.
Joe Montana. Jerry Rice.
John Elway.
He's the greatest defensive player ever, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can't even argue that.
And Reggie White might be close, although
Ndamukong Suh.
And Deion Sanders would be
Dick
close.
Dick Butkus, maybe.
Butkus.
Although it's hard to compare guys from different eras. But
what about Dave Meggett?
he's a criminal. He's
in prison. Lawrence Taylor changed the game on defense more than any other player in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And so you have to say... Lawrence Taylor was the greatest.
Even better than Mike Singletary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Singletary was in Hall of Fame.
What about Derek
linebacker.
Thomas? What
he,
about...
He was a Lawrence Taylor clone.
Yeah.
Derek Thomas was Chiefs. What about the guy... Wasn't there a guy from the Buffalo Bills?
Cornelius Bennett. He was also a Lawrence Taylor clone, but they were...
Poor man's.
They were poor men, and they were awesome.
Derek Thomas was very good,
and he's a Hall of Famer.
And didn't
Rest
he die in a
peace.
Car accident or something?
He didn't. He died after the car accident. He did not die immediately.
Oh,
I think
really?
There was time after. He was a paraplegic. Not a paraplegic.
Right.
Oh,
quadriplegic
poor guy.
Or something.
What,
really?
What a,
but not for long. Like
It wasn't very long.
Was
not like
weeks.
Roy Campanella, who was in a wheelchair for 40 years after a car accident. The great Roy Campanella? Baseball player, Hall of Fame catcher.
Won three MVPs in a row.
Baseball's not a sport, so I don't really pay attention to
that. That's not true. Hey, Cornhusker's got a good baseball team. We have not even gotten onto any of the topics we were going to talk about today.
But we're talking fast, at least.
Yes, we're saying fast words.
And we haven't even brought up the shitty underwear yet from last week.
Well, this week on your front step was, I doubt it's the same guy.
Different guy.
Right.
The guy was before was like Mexican or something. This guy's white. Yeah. I don't know, Caucasian of some descent. Irish.
So you're right. Yeah. So you're just yeah, of the various homeless people who hang out in your front yard.
Yeah.
Did you ask him if his nationality was Irish?
I should. That's how I'm going to bring it up, because I feel like I need to get sit down and
talk
to him.
Well, when we came this week on Ryan's front stoop was a guy who seemingly is homeless.
Definitely
younger,
homeless.
Though. Younger, like probably,
yeah,
you know,
totally
20s,
capable
30s.
Of working.
No
Could
doubt.
Definitely have a job if you
Thing
wanted
to. Thing is, he did look very sad. He had a pit bull with him.
I do not think that was a pit bull. Was it?
I think it's a mix. I don't think because it's either that or it's
in
really
it. It looked like
sick.
It looked like the dog from the Little Rascals.
Oh, that was
that's
a
Doberman.
No,
that's
it's not a Doberman.
With the circle around the eye, it's Pitbull.
That was a Pitbull. This dog reminded me of the dog from, remember the British Bulldogs? The great wrestling
tag
team?
Oh, it reminded you of a bulldog?
Matilda. That dog looked like Matilda.
Good pull.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be a British bulldog. It did not look like that at all. Ryan is looking up the Little Rascals dog.
Oh,
that's
it didn't look like that dog.
Sure it did.
That's definitely a pit bull. You were right.
Yeah.
With a marker around its eye.
Yeah, no doubt.
Come on. Get it together.
Well, you can see that they're different dogs. Go back because some dogs have them on a different eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you see when Ryan's tiny little rat dogs ran out?
Yeah.
To bark at that dog.
Don't call them rat dogs.
Well, that's what they're. I think their ancestry is rats.
Somewhere a dog raped a rat.
Just so you know,
and chihuahuas were
the
born.
The gray one, Magnum, is a Shih Tzu, and Shih Tzus are they come from Chinese royalty.
Uh huh.
Well, now, the other dog is probably part rat, part.
I'll just say this:
guinea pig,
that
part
pit
dog.
Ball, those that pit bull would have ended both their lives very quickly.
Maybe. Do you remember when Basha took on?
Do you guys remember Royce Gracie?
Yes.
My dogs are like Royce Gracie. And
no.
That pit bull is like a sumo wrestler.
No. I'm telling you, your dog is not like Royce Gracie.
My dog is. It did an armbar the shit out of you.
Who's Royce Gracie? Is this a wrestler?
This little teeny UFC fighter.
I know.
He was jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay. And he would fight like sumo wrestlers. It was before the MMA was
What he would do was, and his matches were always so boring, what he would do was he would just jump on someone's back and they could not
get him off.
And they'd be hitting him, and he wouldn't get off. And so finally, out of boredom, they would just tap out. I'm telling you.
He was so good. He would break arms. He would crawl on their arms. Dude, he was the greatest fighter of all time.
Wow, differing opinions over this.
It was boring as hell.
Yeah, boring. But when he would punch, he wouldn't even close his fists. He would just do this.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't going to hurt him anyway.
Ken Shamrock would have rocked him.
Yeah, that was the thing. I think he was smart because he fought really big guys that were way too slow.
Right.
In Shamrock's day, he was quick and strong.
I don't know who any of these guys are.
Ken Shamrock was a professional wrestler for a while.
But before that, MMA. He was like one of the early MMA
He was like the Iceman of like the 80s, right? Or Chuck Liddell of the 80s. Or
yes, I know that's exactly Liddell right. Yeah. And there was another guy Dan the Beast Severn.
I don't know who that
is. The guy with the mustache?
I remember him.
I'm going to
bring this back. I'm going to bring this one back. Watch this, guys. Houston Alexander, MMA fighter from Omaha, Nebraska.
Nah.
It all escapes me.
Well, that's been a hell of a tangent.
Yeah, what a tangent. Let's talk about something
this whole
we have on the list.
Been a tangent.
How about the Nebraska has 1,000 student tickets left, season tickets.
For McNeese State?
No, I think 1,000. Like, they have 1,000 season tickets for the students. They have 8,500 season tickets for the students. 1,000 of those are still left.
Oh, for any game.
So it's not
for
just
all
McNeese
the games.
State.
Well, they're too expensive. I mean, students can't afford that shit.
How much are they?
They're
50 like, bucks a game?
Yeah, something like that. So,
ooh.
I mean,
wow.
But times how many games? Times 8? That's 400 bucks. When was the last time as a student?
Well, when was the last time as a student?
Yeah.
Then 400 bucks would have been like 1,000 bucks today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how old I am.
But I mean, when's the last time you, as a grown adult,
had $400
to
just
spend
throw on...
away?
If I had the opportunity to spend $400 and got season tickets to Nebraska, I would spend $400.
Right now, I could do that for
point,
season tickets.
Yeah. I would do it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would have to.
Scratch and claw.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't have $400.
Do things
like,
I don't really want
right
to do
now.
With other men.
Yeah, but I could go to the bank and get $400 out using an ATM card, and then I would do it. So it wouldn't be that hard for me.
Right. But he's got that big fancy pants job.
Oh yeah, big time.
Oh yeah, real fancy pants. His pants are super fancy. So what do we? Now I just read a thing about that, and the suggestions are that it will be they'll sell those by the first game.
They'll sell them. I mean,
you were saying that. Who were you saying?
Oh, I was throwing out the name Kim Wolf.
Is that a big booster?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I don't want to.
I
don't want to speculate. No. He's the guy that owns the Husker helicopter.
Husker helicopter.
You flew in that.
Yeah, he's the guy that took me up to let me film. Like, I contacted him. He's like an ex-Marine or Navy SEAL or some crazy
shit.
Oh,
man.
He's really tough, and his name is Kim?
Dude, I'm telling you.
It's like a boy named Sue.
He's taken me up in the helicopter a couple times, and one time we're going down through this, like, ravine, and he just drops it down to, like, almost, it felt like ground level.
Oh, God.
And he's like, don't worry, I know there's no power lines, and then just kicks it, and I'm like, dude, I about shit myself. He would go up and then just drop the nose and just dive for the ground, like.
Oh, in a helicopter?
In a helicopter.
That's a nightmare to me.
Yeah. Oh, it was the worst.
A nightmare. What is he thinking?
It's probably the adrenaline rush.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He loves that shit. If a guy was an ex-Navy SEAL.
Or Marine or whatever. Right. He was in the,
If you crazy. If you've seen any shit, so to speak, as they say.
Yeah, I've been
if
in
you've been
shit.
In the shit.
Yeah.
Then you come back to normal life. Everything has to be extremely boring.
And slow. Yeah, you're right.
Extremely
That's true.
Boring.
Well, dude, like he lives in Columbus and I probably shouldn't just say his addresses, but no, like he has like this hangar, right?
Yeah.
And when you go in, it's just head to toe.
But he's a Husker.
Yeah. Head to toe Husker, like autographed pictures of every player ever.
And what's his business?
Midwest Medical Transport.
Oh.
So he owns a bunch of ambulances and helicopters for
what an
hospitals.
Interesting. It's amazing all the businesses people do and make a lot of money.
And that I've done.
Dude,
he
also owns a Husker helicopter store in the mall.
So you can buy a Husker helicopter?
No, you can buy like a shirt with a picture of his helicopter on it. Or you can
There's a store that just has that?
Yeah, or you
Don't
could...
you remember when The Simpsons came out and there were stores that just had Simpsons t-shirts?
But,
Let me get this off real quick.
Totally different.
I got to get this out real quick.
Go ahead.
Not only can you buy Husker helicopter shirts there, but you can also buy Through These Gates DVDs there
nice.
As well.
Nice.
So,
I've seen that movie.
So he's a Ryan Tweedy booster as well.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Did he ask you for your autograph?
No. He did let me, but he did let me come meet a coach, Terry Joseph,
who
is the worst person ever.
No way.
He is now.
Why? Because he's at A&M?
Yep.
Look, they didn't miss a step. I think.
No, the guy they have in now, I think is even better.
I think so too.
And I think what's.
You know why? Because he's not a dirty traitor.
Well, but these guys take different jobs. And
business,
I think.
It's not personal.
It is personal. You know what? You know who else I hate?
Clearly.
You know who else I hate? Turner Gill.
What?
And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God!
What were you saying?
Boy, what I was saying is like Pelini is a secondary guy, so he gets these coaches under him, and he probably coaches them up on coaching that. So it's like
he should stop doing that.
Well, but it's like guys off the Belichick tree or off the Parcells tree. It's not Pelini's tree is not as big and popular of a tree
yet.
But if you want to get a defensive back coach. Nebraska is probably a proven place to poach somebody from. And that's why Pelini can get good guys to come to take their place. A young guy is like, oh, this guy just moved on to this job. You know, if it's a way station, that's okay because they keep getting good recruits at defensive back.
And they do. And the NFL is kind of filled with Nebraska defensive backs.
And they're all underrated. They go in sixth round dinner. Well, that was probably because of the cop thing.
It was. He dropped
100% because of the cop thing. But
Amukamara
has had a nice. He's really turning.
And
into
there's
a
guys
nice
like
player.
Gomes who pop up here and there. You know, and make rosters.
But Batiste just went was in the second round.
Yeah,
yeah.
Early in the second round, I think, like in the 40s, he was.
Yeah, the Saintsies.
Yeah. So
Batiste was the Saints. They went to the Jets.
No, Saints.
No. What's his name? Went to the
Anunua.
Yeah. And the Saints will use him. They need help in the secondary. And that's planning. Whatever. We're getting into NFL discussion. So the point is the tickets will get sold. Nobody's worried about the tickets getting sold.
Yeah.
But if someone, another booster is one of our listeners and wants to get us tickets to a game and fly.
You wanted to buy. The thing is, you know what? We can't get student
No, we can't.
Why don't they fly?
Let's ask some boosters who, I'm sure we have a lot of boosters who
Most of the Nebraska boosters are listening to this podcast.
Why don't you guys fly us out to a few games?
You know what? Yeah. You could fly us out and we would do a podcast in your house.
Yes.
There's nothing a booster would like more than to have the three of us in their house.
Listen, that's a nice gift we should give a booster. We could do the podcast with them. We will control their mic so that they can't say as much as they might want to.
Right.
But that's okay because they're not professionals like us.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
What?
No, I see what he's saying. He was saying boosters probably don't, they're not funny like we are.
Yeah, they're not geniuses.
Like Kim, now, Kim Wolf, I'm sure, is super funny.
His stories would be better than any of
ours. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One time, me and Bo Pelini, we killed a cow with our bare hands. Just to get that rush.
Well, you could, and I'll try to use this as a segue. Pelini getting that rush. We at this point, you maybe have seen the video of the new Nebraska uniform.
Yeah, and the helmet is awesome.
The helmet is awesome.
It looks very much like the last uniform.
The jersey, not the last one, the two before.
The last one was all black. Right, yes, the two before. It seems very similar to that one.
Yeah, well, it's got more black on the bottom, right?
And the letter's bigger, and it's a different shade of red.
I want them to come out.
The gist is the same.
It looks so cool.
I want them to come out with an alternate all white uniform.
That's what I want.
That would be incredible.
Or just all black with like skull and crossbones on the helmets and nothing else.
Ooh, skull and crossbones on the helmet would be great.
That would be cool.
The black shirt, just a black shirt uniform.
Or a helmet, or all red with a helmet shaped like a corn cob.
No, that would be dangerous.
Why? Oh, because of the point? Because they have like a spear on their...
Yeah. They'd be like rhinoceroses out there.
But there's always a lot of debate when Nebraska comes out with a new uniform. A lot of people hate it, inevitably. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people defend it and stuff. I think there's not a lot of schools that have Adidas, or as they say in Europe, Adidas.
Yeah, Adidas.
As their sponsor.
First of all, I just got a... It's an American company?
It's not.
It's not an American company.
It's not an American company.
Oh, wait.
Adidas is... I believe it's...
German?
Nah, it's...
Spanish?
Northern European thing.
So how is something as American as Husker football sponsored by an American?
I did not mean to start any...
Come on.
Because Nike is basically an Oregon booster.
I want Freedom shoes.
Yeah, Nike is an Oregon booster purely.
Like, if you're wearing Nike uniforms...
What about Reebok? Like, can we get some Reebok?
Yeah, Reebok shoes fall apart.
Any college team that wears Nike uniforms is supporting Oregon.
Because Phil Knight is a huge Oregon booster. Speaking of boosters, he's built their whole thing is all Phil Knight. So especially a Pac-10 team, if you're a Pac-10 team, you should not be wearing Nike. And really,
true.
Isn't Nebraska playing Oregon in a couple years?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know one of those games got canceled. Was it Oregon or Tennessee or Oklahoma?
I thought Tennessee got moved or something
to bring in Oregon. Is that what it was?
I don't know. But I love Tennessee is my second favorite college football team because our dad went. I lived in Knoxville briefly. Our dad went to Tennessee.
I don't have
graduate.
A second favorite college football
nice,
team.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you,
I hate Tennessee.
I rooted for Nebraska against Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
There was no.
Oh, it was 100%.
Yeah, that there was no like.
They humiliated him.
They did.
That was one of
his worst games. He didn't do well against Florida. He lost, to
Florida. Yeah, Florida was...
That was like when Spurrier was there.
Yep, right. Spurrier liked...
He likes to throw the ball around, and we just figure he's going to throw it down the field. We'll just put some guys back there.
Yeah, Manning's kind of always been like that in his career, where there's like a team that always gets him. It's the Patriots in the NFL.
And he's gotten them back a little bit.
He never beat Florida in 4 years.
No. But Nebraska... they humiliated
him. Yeah.
They humiliated
and they humiliated Jim Drunkenmiller of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, people all remember that. Drunkenmiller's worst night. That reminds me of the beer that made Milfamy walk us.
Is that Dad?
Yeah. Our dad is an amateur comedian.
Amateur.
And I don't even think it's... His
amateur
joke.
Wordplay.
Wordplay comedian. I don't think it's his joke, but...
You mean pun.
That's yes, pun. Right. So he told a joke about this Milwaukee Brewers pitcher named Bill Milfamy, and how before a game one time he got real drunk, or he had what he never drank, and he had one beer before a game because he was nervous, and then he just walked everybody, and they forever called it the beer that made Milfamy walk us, which is, I guess, a play on the beer that made Milwaukee famous.
Right.
I don't know why that's funny in any way, but it just... Drunken Miller made me think of that.
It's an old guy joke.
It is an old guy joke. See, and that's why I can start telling it now.
That's the thing. That's why I came 70, to mind. Right, 60, right. How old's your dad? 60?
65.
65?
Yeah.
If he were to sit around with another group of 65-year-old men, they would laugh till tears rolled down.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yep.
Sad.
And I've crossed but then over to old man.
They would listen to this podcast just deadpan like, oh, you haven't said a thing that's funny yet, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, these young punks?
Yeah.
My dad has not. I mean, I've been a professional comedian for 20 years.
He's never laughed at your joke.
No, he's laughed at some stuff. Some shows at Second City that he came to see, he laughed at.
There's the classic. After seeing a show at Second City, Joe was in a scripted show of visiting. My dad went home and wrote out. Handwritten two sketches to send to Joe to see if he could put them in the show.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. My brother did the same thing.
They didn't get in. and he's never... I used to do this thing where... I started this when I was in Amsterdam.
He handwrote them.
He also handwrote yellow legal pad.
He's handwritten a number of productions. He also handwrote a play about a kid in World War II, a Jewish kid who was... protected from the Nazis by hiding in an attic in Amsterdam.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't just like
that. It was like the Diary of Anne Frank. But it was.
Did he fall in love with a girl that was also there?
Yes, his best friend was a little Jewish. It was a little Jewish boy, and his best friend was a little German girl.
So it was like it was the Diary of Anne Frank, but from Peter's perspective.
Yes, right. And Anne was Anne Schweitzen.
It was a one act. It was good. Right. It was a nice.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
I was with them for a couple weeks about 6 years ago. And
transgression
my dad,
number 10 in this.
And my dad's like, hey, you want to write a pilot together? I got this great idea. And every day before he would go to work, he would have handwritten notes for me to implement. And then when I implemented them and then made the story flow, he's like, I don't like what you put in. Everything that I put in, he did not like.
That's hysterical.
Oh, that's funny.
But I used to do this bit in movie theaters where I'd get like a large popcorn and then I'd walk across a row and I'd just wipe out. And the popcorn would go flying, and I'd hit the ground. So I know you're not laughing at all.
Oh wait, oh so it was a bit.
Yeah, I would every time I went to a movie, I would do it.
Pratfall.
You would wipe out with my 20 bucks on popcorn.
Well, that's the funny thing. It started getting more and more expensive, and I also started seriously hurting myself. I would do like real falls.
I remember you tore out your pants one time. Was that the time with Dad?
I went to see Enemy at the Gates.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie.
These guys. Enemy at the Gates, nice. Which has one of the most uncomfortable sex scenes you could ever watch with your father in a movie theater. Anyway, I did the popcorn bit there. Ripped my pants. Fell. Tore my pants. My dad was like, and then I come back to the seat, and he's like, you all right? And I was like, yeah, I did it on purpose. He's like, what? Also, the other thing is, Enemy at the Gates, a very solemn, serious war movie. No one laughed.
Oh, of course
like,
not.
And it was a sparse... audience too. I just tried. It failed.
Yeah, you have to know your audience.
Yeah, and it was none of them were in the house that night.
No, this was like in Wappingers Falls, New York.
Yeah, that's right.
With a bunch of old men, single right. old men at a movie.
Oh yeah, it was a porn. So
it was a porn.
So I never even got to the point I was going to make with the new uniform. There's video of Pelini, and this just to tell you where this came from when we were talking about that rush.
Oh,
the adrenaline rush. So Pelini comes in to unveil the new uniform to the players. And he's like hitting them. He's kind of like knocking them around. And you see, he's for a guy his age, he's probably in great shape. But he doesn't look like what a college, certainly football player looks like in the uniform.
He's got a little tum-tum.
A little punch, a little tum-tum. So he comes in and he's got the mask over the dark visor in the helmet. So no one can tell who he is. And he's like roughing up the players and he's going around. And we were talking earlier that probably the first time he's been in a football uniform since he was a player, and he was all charged up from it.
It was such a rush for him. Yeah. It must have been.
Oh, all I bet. Pumped up, putting on the pads and everything. Like, he must have been very excited. Because you can tell Pelini's the kind of guy who wishes he was out there making the play.
Absolutely. He was, I mean, wasn't he the captain on Ohio State?
He may have been.
I thought he was the captain, the defensive captain in the...
Now, did he play for, like, Earl Bruce, or did he play...
No,
He didn't play for the guy who punched the Michigan kid.
No, he was...
Cooper?
He might have been... It was between either the Michigan puncher... Or the puncher.
What is that guy's name?
Cooper.
The Michigan puncher?
Yeah, the guy who got...
Woody Hayes.
Woody Hayes.
Oh, okay.
I think he was after Woody Hayes.
I was thinking of Jack Pardee.
Cooper, unfortunately, he was a heck of a football coach who, because he couldn't beat Michigan, he would go like 11-1 every year.
And lose to Michigan every
year. Yeah, they hated him there. He was a good coach, though.
But, okay, so Bo Pelini, like the way he was shaking those kids around... Like, I feel, I don't know if this is, like, a common term that people use, but we always said adults, like, men, like my dad. Mm-hmm. Somehow, when I'm 17 and buff as shit, and my dad, like, hasn't lifted a weight in 30 years, he can still throw me down on the ground and slap me with my own hands.
Oh,
it doesn't
yeah.
make any goddamn
I
sense.
I know where you're going.
And that's the thing. We called it grown man strength. Like, it's from, like, just this, like, confidence and, like,
wisdom.
Just overuse and wisdom and, like, fearlessness that you're just a young piece of shit.
Right. And you haven't done any real work, so all the physicality you have has never been applied in a desperate way.
So, like, yeah, and I have a feeling that that's what Bo Pelini was like, he was sort of half letting him know and half a little out of control.
Yeah, right, yes. and he probably was, you got to imagine he's squeezing their arm real
hard.
Oh,
yeah. You know, like, well, you can see him, like, they're kind of squirming.
They're like, yeah.
Everyone's a little jumpy.
Yeah, and coach, and then he runs back there, and I was either a coach or a player that was out of uniform, practically pushes him off a chair.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
But he was so exuberant, and that had us talking earlier about how Bo has become
a character.
And seemingly much more open, much more fun-loving. He's still a bit of a hard ass.
I think that's him.
Right. You were thinking that there's probably a publicist in his ear or somebody who's kind of saying, look, you know, you got to change. And he's open to that. Because in today's
I don't think he runs his own Twitter.
No, I don't think
I'm
he
convinced
does
he doesn't run his own
Twitter. He may have some ideas. Like, he may have actually done that response to...
I don't think so. I think there's someone that's like, hey, Bo, here's what we're
doing. I think he has enough of a sense of humor to just jump in. But I think starting the Twitter account, somebody told him to do, and all of the stunts that... like the
If anything,
thing,
Bo Pelini is faux Pelini...
Oh, that would be
and
incredible.
And then there's someone else.
Can you imagine if that was true?
The Andy Kaufman of college football?
Yes, that would be amazing. But
Andy Kaufman was my favorite comedian of all time.
Joe's too.
Sure.
Oh, really?
Well, he's very funny. I like his anti-comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Steve Martin, who also did a lot of anti-comedy stuff.
Yeah.
But
I'm told often that I look like Steve Martin.
Your hair will never be as gray as his.
I know.
From 18. I think Bo is more, if he had his way, he'd be more like a Bobby Knight. But this was a conversation that we touched on earlier before we started the podcast. You don't need to know that. But we were talking about how coaches...
Yeah, we actually talked to each other before.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. How Bobby Knight as a coach, that doesn't exist anymore.
He doesn't exist, no.
And you see it happening where a guy throws a basketball at his player.
And then,
gets fired.
And then he's gone.
Dude, it's what happened. Do you know why? It's because of guys like Mr. Canale over here, Mike, all whiny and liberal.
how did Mike make this the whiny liberal? He
doesn't like racism.
Sure, he's against all that stuff.
He doesn't like, you know, like rape jokes, women stuff.
I mean, he still likes sexist stuff, only to a point.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
but Bobby Knight, like, and also. A, kids are more privileged now.
Way more.
Yeah.
To high school athletes.
Right. The internet shows them that most coaches don't throw basketballs
right.
in their head.
But the internet also shows anything that goes out of anything that somebody does somehow gets recorded and will bite them in the ass. I'm sure Bobby Knight at his worst, no one's ever seen. It happened in some practice.
Dude, did you ever hear his quote?
Took a player and you
his
know,
fame, I don't know if it was a famous quote or what, but I saw it on a God somewhere where he was lit. And it's his like it's him saying it. It's not like a misquoted text. Like he said it. I watched him say it, and it was, "If rape is inevitable, lean back and enjoy it."
Was that him who said that?
It was him who I watched say it.
I think that is something he said.
You know, the other I will say this about Bobby Knight to just protect him a little bit. He was also a showman.
Sure.
And he loved.
Oh yeah, I like. I was a fan
out.
Of Bobby Knight.
Although when he would grab like a, there was no show when he would grab one of his players and pull him toward him or
but
something.
But then again, you look at his graduation rates and stuff like that, and he, you know, whether you approve or disapprove of his methods, he did create good men. You look throughout at Indiana graduates, they're all executives in the league and coaches, and a lot. Indiana produces a lot of like high level basketball people of his generation,
and
right? Who he coached.
Yes, you're right. And I think he also, I think most of his ex players really liked him.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's
and same with Pelini, who's right. who's a hard ass. He's not as much of a hard ass, I think, as he would be 30 years ago.
Yeah. Trev Alberts goes out and plays with like a broken elbow or a broken shoulder wrapped up, basically plays one arm and dominates,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then you have, I mean, who else did that?
Well, that was
Brooke Baringer played with a collapsed lung. They had a doctor on the sideline to make sure he didn't die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
Oh my God.
They brought,
he played with a collapsed lung. Yeah.
And then you have but then they win.
Well, that was under Osborne.
But I'm just my point is this:
my brother probably could have at least
won a game,
come close, and he had a collapsed lung.
I had
time.
A collapsed lung.
Really? I bet that was the worst.
It's a great story, actually.
So here's my point. My point is that those guys go out and dominate under these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Martinez breaks his ankle, and he's out for his career. Like that's the thing. I mean, what happened to the
this seems like a chief. This seems
I
like
see
a.
What you're saying.
Oh, I see. So the toughness instilled in the players.
Right. Where's the toughness at? And that's the thing. So you get a basketball. You know what I got thrown at my head? I was much worse than a basketball growing up. Not from my parents, but just from other students. I mean, other people. You
were
know,
you
I
not well liked.
Not well liked. I had a guy hit me with a wrench once. Not
oh my God.
That. A guy did hit me with a 2x4 in shop class once.
Oh.
In ninth grade. But my point is that a basketball is not that big of a deal. Still got a scar right here. It's really small.
Wait, your point is that basketball's not that big of a deal?
No, basketball.
Throwing a basketball is not. No, that's not a big deal.
If Bo Pelini wants to slap the shit out of a kid open-handed, I'm cool. I'm cool.
If I wouldn't want him to do that to my son, I'll say that.
Well, not now. Your son's little.
Although if my son was 6'4 and 260 pounds...
And he,
like,
take right. a, and he can't
I'd
take
like,
a slap.
You know,
well,
look at poor Jonathan Martin, though. I mean, some people just can't take stuff like that.
No.
And, you know, so
Jonathan Martin.
The offensive lineman for the Dolphins.
Who was bullied.
Yeah. The offensive, the football player you want me to feel bad about for being
some
bullied.
Some people are sensitive. I mean, I'm sorry. Super liberal right
I wasn't.
Now.
I'd like to go back and see him growing up when he was the big shot in high school and in college and see how sensitive
he
could
have been a gentle giant. I'm assuming he was a gentle giant. Very intelligent, very bright family. You know.
I'm bitter because I couldn't play football.
Gentle giant, by the way, very...
overused term?
No, I was going to say very kind of like lightweight prog rock group of the late 70s, early 80s.
The name Gentle,
Gentle
Giant?
Gentle Giant.
Oh, that would have been a great prog rock band.
It was.
Not like... Oh, it was a good...
It existed.
They existed? Oh!
There's a prog rock band called Gentle Giant that was like mellow prog rock.
Oh, no. Mellow prog rock
no.
just doesn't work. No.
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 But it's an appropriate thing. If you heard mellow prog rock, you'd be like, this band's called Gentle
yes.
Giant. Anyway,
okay.
Yes,
that was a digression off the digression.
I just said yes. The greatest of the prog
rock. The greatest
of
the prog rock. So the point is that, you know, Bo has embraced, whether it's with a publicist or not, that he's embraced kind of this lighthearted version of himself, which is kind of necessary in today's game.
I agree.
You know, Osborne was not a hard ass. Osborne was not a Woody Hayes or anything like that.
No,
well,
but
he also was a humorless. He wasn't like a real.
Well, people forget. People have also sort of. Now I've got to be really careful with what I say here, but people have sort of kind of forgotten things because of their overwhelming love for Tom Osborne.
Always, that happens with all these heroes,
right? And he was. I mean, and I'm not going to be the one to argue with that because I also idolized him,
sure,
and still do, but. there are, like, I found a picture of him, like, laying on his hands and knees, banging on the ground, screaming. I'll show you the picture.
Really?
Yeah, and Charlie McBride said that he was screaming, "Dagnabbit, Dagnabbit, oh, right. Dagnabbit," but he was still banging.
He doesn't swear.
But he was banging on the ground, screaming. And there is still that element of fire there. It wasn't like he was always mellow.
I think he was also. I mean, everybody probably knows this, but I think he was also such a stickler for detail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, meticulous.
He was so meticulous that I think maybe he didn't need to be a screamer. Because it would just be like, if you don't do it exactly how I'm doing it in a soft, dagnabbit kind of way, I'm just going to take you out of the game anyway. So right. I think he commanded things in a different way.
Sure, yeah, he led through his actions,
right?
As just a coach,
he's also a psychologist, so he's a bright man.
Yes,
who could
that's
motivate
true.
In
a psychologist, an underrated tool for a football coach. Any coach.
Any coach.
Well, and he would tell
like
him exactly
Phil
what was going to happen.
Yep.
He would tell him exactly what was going to happen. We're going to go out there, and we've conditioned ourselves to play all four quarters. So in the fourth quarter, they're going to get tired, and they're going to get lazy, and they're going to make a foul, and we're going to benefit off that flag.
Right.
So don't react. Let them get in trouble.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened, and then we won.
Yep. That just reminds me that I feel like lately, hopefully this will change, Nebraska has more often been the team that loses their cool a little bit late in the game and makes a penalty.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're a representation of their coach.
Yeah. But and they've also had a number of personal fouls. Like
I can think of game-changing personal fouls.
I can think of three or four that should not have been personal fouls.
Dinner
against them. Or when this one didn't change the game, but when Kenny Bell took that dude out.
The Wisconsin game?
Yeah. That's just a block.
That's just a block. Best blocker on the team.
And a few times that's happened, and I think that's weird that Nebraska gets kind of, maybe because of Pelini, gets a little bit of...
Well, the coaches or the referees.
They don't get the home field discount kind
right,
of thing.
Right,
yeah.
We'll see what his on-field demeanor is like. Because he's changed in other ways, like in terms of the media and his persona outside of the game. But you still see him clench up during games
and
stuff.
Well, did you see the referees release a statement? Big Ten refs saying that Bo Pelini's fine. He doesn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
He's just, they all show it in different ways and all this blah,
they
blah, blah.
They have to say that, though.
I know. That's
during the game, you know.
Yeah, you can see it.
They're human beings, too. Right. If you're getting screamed at by another adult man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For 60
you're
minutes.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah,
that's going to make, if you hear that for an hour and a half, you're eventually going to get
gonna
mad.
I'm going to kill you in the parking lot. I wonder if he ever whispers that in their ear, like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to eat your fucking
That would be great. All right. So yeah, Pelini came in, looked a little pudgy, uniform. What do you guys think
that.
Of that? It was fun seeing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it seems like he's keeping his name out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I think it's a recruiting tactic.
Right? Absolutely, just being present. More people know who Bo Pelini is than know
any
who
other
Iowa's coach.
Friends.
I mean,
who's been around a long time, but he's not. He's like a very quiet.
Yeah.
Get rid of Urban Meyer. Get rid of Nick Saban.
Please.
Please. I'd love that. But I mean, he's probably
Spurrier.
I don't know. People know Spurrier?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
he's
Spurrier.
A whiny little bitch.
Spurrier's
Everybody knows who I am. I mean,
Spurrier's
you see me on the golf
funny,
course?
Man.
You see me out there on the golf course? I mean, Alabama. Oh, my God. It's amazing they don't beat NFL teams. They should be in the NFL. The players are getting.
Well,
how do they lose a game? How do they ever lose a game? I guess it's the coaching. Like, he always gets
He's great. Oh,
people.
He's great. I do like Spurrier. I hated
Dabo
him more
Sweeney,
than...
he was digging on him. He's like, well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He wins a lot of games. Don't beat us.
I love that stuff. He's great.
Yeah, I hate Steve Spurrier.
I like
my
Spurrier, especially.
Oh,
I like Spurrier especially because Nebraska crushed him. And I have a bunch of friends who went to Florida at that time and were at that game. And I just always ask them about it to have them recount it. They say they knew when Nebraska came out of the tunnel that they were going to lose.
Yeah,
because Nebraska had guys that were just. Bigger.
That's what Danny said. That
yeah.
Our friend Danny was in Florida's marching band.
Yep.
And he said, he's like, you know, we went undefeated that year, and I watched every team we played. And he's like, of course they're all huge guys. He's like, when Nebraska came out of the tunnel, he's like, I'd never seen a team that big.
Yeah.
Never saw a team that big.
They were.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
What's next?
Gives me goosebumps.
Dude, I can't wait for the season to start.
I don't know that there is. We do have. We do have a special guest coming in, but I have to leave.
Oh, where are you going? You go pet that pit bull outside?
No, no. I made myself a smoothie this morning.
Kale smoothie.
I made a smoothie and it was a lot. I put like a lot of greens in it.
Oh yeah.
And I also had some yogurt in it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the yogurt was expired.
Oh
so
man.
I'm feeling a little icky tummy right now.
We really have bowel problems at this place.
So I gotta go.
Can you do me a favor though? Because last time in the Husker room, you just destroyed it, and I felt like you disrespected the Husker bathroom. Can you
know
use
what?
The bathroom downstairs?
Yes, I'll do all the number twos in the Colorado bathroom.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's
that bathroom is.
I'm gonna buy a Colorado sticker and put it at the bottom of the toilet.
Here's an idea that I've trademarked. I haven't trademarked it, but
Do you want
to
say it out loud?
I don't want to say it out loud. I'll say it to you guys afterwards.
Okay.
But yeah.
God, I can't wait to do that. I'm putting a Colorado sticker.
No,
on the
why Colorado?
Toilet.
Do a different team. Do Michigan.
I hate Colorado more. I don't give a shit about Michigan.
Colorado is nothing. All right.
So I gotta go.
See you, Joe.
But we got a special guest coming in. You guys introduce him.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, this is exciting. Wow.
Hey, Mr. Hugh Freeze.
The head coach of University of Mississippi, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah. I heard you had a little squabble verbally with...
No squabbles. We didn't have any squabbles. You know, we're all in this together. All us coaches here.
But you're not in it together.
Yeah, what is that... when you say that, what does that mean,
Well,
Hugh?
I mean, we're all in this together. Like Bo Pelini will recruit the player and talk about educating the player and everything. And then we'll have the player down, and we do what we do with the player, and then they'll sign with us. We all contributed to the...
Okay, Hugh, I'm going to stop you right there. What do you do that Bo doesn't do?
Well, we're all in this together. You know, a booster will come and he'll give me a bag with a player's name on it. And I won't know what's in there, but, you know, and then I'll give the bag to the player and they won't know what's in there. Uh-huh. But we're all in this together. And, a player's mother will come and she's a part of the process, too, and... We're all in this together.
Well,
and
here's the thing about that whole this. So this is, I think, where the kind of whole beef started was.
Hugh, that seems. By the way, sorry to interrupt, Ryan.
It's fine.
It seems like you guys are giving money to players.
No, bags.
Right.
The bags could be empty for all I know.
Well, why don't you open it?
Well, you know, there's NCAA rules about opening bags.
I'm not sure if there's an NCAA rule.
See
about
something, say something.
Okay, so then what you're saying is you're pretty sure there's money in there.
I don't think I said that.
How
did the mom and because they couldn't go to Nebraska because they couldn't afford the plane ticket?
Well, you know, there's I believe
Old Mississippi
from?
Is way farther than Nebraska.
Oh, there's I
from
now,
Washington.
Now, I may be wrong, but I believe that American Airlines has over 50 direct flights. From Los Angeles to Mississippi a day.
No, that's absolutely not true.
No, I believe they run like all the airlines combined. I believe there are like 800 direct flights to Mississippi. It's easy to get down to Mississippi.
Nobody wants to go to Mississippi.
No,
offense.
Well, we're all in this together now, so we all want to go to Mississippi.
Who's in this together?
Well, me and we got a lot of blue chippers. And, you know, blue chips, by the way, worth $100 in Las Vegas. So we got plenty of blue chips hanging around Ole Miss, players and actual chips.
Hugh, do you think that you have a soul?
Me personally or people in general?
You, Hugh Freeze, do you
have a soul?
Because
we're all in this together.
Yeah, if I have
a soul, then we all have a soul.
You got to stop saying that, Hugh.
We got great soul food in Mississippi, too. A lot of players like that eat for free.
Wait, that's
illegal.
You can't do that.
No, part of our, the training table. You eat food at the training table for free.
Okay, because Eric Crouch had to go back and pay for a ham sandwich at a high school after he spoke at it.
Well, you know, ham sandwiches are expensive.
I mean,
that sounds like a violation.
But what you're saying is you're literally giving them a bag with their name on it, a plane ticket, because even if
it could, maybe not, it may have their name on it, but it may not be for them. I mean, I personally know four or five DeMaurier Stringfellows myself, in my neighborhood.
So you, all right, this is insane. You A booster comes to you with a bag.
Let's just say a man comes to me.
You said booster before.
Well, I was talking about the seat he was on. He was very short, and he had it to look regular.
So a short man in a booster seat comes to you.
Yes.
With a bag.
Maybe it was a baby. You know what? It was a baby.
Oh, man.
A baby comes to you with a bag.
So a baby gave me a bag. Could have been a diaper bag. Anything. It was heavy. It was heavy.
How did he know how to spell them? I have a tough time spelling DeMore Stringfellow. How did a baby?
Oh, in Mississippi, you know, every other guy. Stringfellow is a very popular name.
Mississippi ranks as the dumbest state in the United States every year.
We're all in this together.
Really? It's really Mississippi.
We're all in this together, so all Americans just as dumb as Mississippi.
No. I am not in this together with you.
Well,
and Ryan's not.
I'm the opposite of in this together with you. I'm opposing this
with you. All college coaches.
Absolutely. That's not true either. There's a lot of intelligent coaches. I don't think you're an intelligent man either.
Well, I mean, you look at some of the players we got.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
No.
Oh, the players are good.
Oh, the players are good. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lineman, number one. He was the number one overall recruit. We got 5 of the top 10 overall players.
How is Mississippi getting these players? Who are you?
How are you not winning with all of them?
Mississippi has the highest percentage of randomly left brown paper bags that may or may not have money in them in America.
Well, that seems accurate. That might be the first thing you said that I believe.
And I think that Alabama could give you a run for your money on that.
Well, you know.
Well, who did you say, Alabama? Yeah. At least Alabama has a coach that has won national championships, that has a name behind him. I don't know who the hell you are.
I'm Hugh Freeze.
Has anybody ever told you you look like the old man, or you sound like the old man from Beavis and Butthead? Can you say, stop whacking off in my shed?
I can't say that for reasons that are my own.
All right. Thank you, Hugh Freeze.
Well, thank you, fellas.
Why don't you head downstairs to the Colorado bathroom?
Oh, I already peed all over it. Everybody hates Colorado.
Hey, Joe.
Oh.
That
was Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you recognized him. I didn't know what he looked like till the day.
Oh, yeah. He mistook me for a wide receiver prospect. Gave me a handshake with a $20 bill.
Oh.
Do you think anybody ever calls him Mr. Freeze?
and does an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation
for Cool Party. Cool Party.
I like your Schwarzenegger. There's no words.
No. He's growling. Yep.
What did you guys talk about? He's a very inclusive guy.
Yeah.
Did you see his shirt? It said, we're all in this
together. Yeah, I did see that shirt. But the S
in this was a money sign.
Yeah.
So, with three bars.
Yeah, right.
We it was not a good interview. Oh. We did not like him.
No. Oh, wow. Well, you know, anybody who can get, you know, top 10 recruiting classes and still finish fourth in the SEC West has got to be worth
But
something.
You know what? That happens all the time. I mean, look at Notre Dame. Look at Penn State. Look at Michigan.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I mean, coaching is...
If you take Peyton Manning out of the Super Bowl, there wasn't anybody above a 3-star player on that team, and most of them would have been 2-stars.
Right.
On the Broncos?
We talked about that before.
And the Seahawks, both of them.
And the Seahawks, both teams, yeah. Guys like Richard Sherman, late
round. He was like a 2-star, right?
Yeah.
It's all about coaching.
Yep.
And heart and coaching, yeah.
Coaching for the fundamentals, and then to just succeed against so many similarly skilled players... skilled and athletic players, there has to be something to separate you.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, what's up? Anything else in our docket?
I think we've hit the whole docket. I think I consider this a very successful podcast.
Sure. I think so, too.
Some good stuff for our Emmy nominations. We'll send probably a couple segments out of this.
Yeah. I'm thinking to get a billboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your consideration.
For your consideration,
that's a
smart
idea.
Big Red Cobcast. And you're going to play your friend's song at the end of this, right?
Oh, I am. It's called, the song is called, oh man, it's the Team Jack song. He wrote it.
Oh.
It's actually over the closing credits of the film. And it's,
nice.
He wrote the, it's about, it's so hard to explain. It's about a Husker dad.
Uh-huh. The song is?
The song. It's about a Husker dad and then being a father, how he felt when he heard the story of Team Jack. That's basically the gist.
Nice.
That's great. And we should say that starting August 17th, we will be going weekly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you can find us on Corn Nation. You can also find us on iTunes.
Yep.
Also on SoundCloud.
Yeah, you can find our bits on SoundCloud. Yep. Everything's Big Red Cobcast.
Yep.
Twitter.
Twitter's at Big Red Cobcast.
Yep.
Facebook.
Let's get some more followers at Big Red Cobcast.
Yeah. What else? Anything else? You got anything you want to plug?
Are we on Snapchat?
I sent a lot of dick pics on Snapchat.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. With like little helmets on.
Yeah, little helmets.
Hopefully I'm going to be doing a show in San Francisco. If any San Franciscans are listening to the Big Red Cobcast, I'll be doing a show with Tim Meadows in September.
But ooh, that's awesome. That again. Look at that. SNL's. Name dropping.
Huh? A little name drop there. Ladies, man.
Yep. How about you, Mike? Are you doing any shows with like Will Ferrell or anything soon?
I am doing a show with Andy Rooney's cousin.
He's got to be pretty old.
He's really old.
Didn't your wife just do a show with Jim Belushi?
Oh, she tours
a lot of shows.
She does
with Jim
a lot of shows with Jim Belushi. Yeah, she tours with Jim Belushi.
Is Jim Belushi as funny as his brother?
Certainly.
Well, he's a lot funnier right now. I don't know. I think Jim's funny.
He's a funny guy.
Megan really enjoys working with Jim.
Do you ever get jealous all the time they spend together?
Sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Guys got
not me. I don't get jealous. Mike does.
Right.
Dude's got a lot of money.
Yeah,
a lot of money. A lot more money than you'll ever have, Mike.
I don't know.
That's not true. This podcast is probably going to blow up pretty soon.
That's true. That's true.
It's hot in this room, man.
It is. Dude, time to go.
All right, at I'm Tweety. Buy through these gates.
Weezalicious. But do the Cobcast, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Canali Mike.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Asleep, easy to dad's fight song singing, softly rocking her while he's watching the scurs, and dad quickly learns how to gently curve. She was born in late summer 04 to ill-prepared parents in and out of working poor, but with a lot of love, the good life and a system of support, I am able to report she's as stable as a horse. Over the course of her young life, dad would hold her like a football, fake left and run right, stiff arm mom, spin off the couch and do a pose for Heisman. The child don't know what's going on, but she knows she likes it. Baby smiling in the high chair, eating canned bananas with a little red bib on and pink pajamas. She's wearing pink cause it's October and she hates breast cancer. It almost took her nana, man, before she even had the chance to meet her, but I believe that she can surely chill though, cause she has a healthy grandma and a herby pillow to lay her head on and snooze to Nebraska ball. Yeah, we lose, but she understands we have to have it on, just in case miracles happen at the Devaney, y'all. Which she can attest to after her and daddy watched Pandemonium versus Indiana when Gus Johnson made that dramatic call. Another child is born. You can laugh at all. Child is born. And I love you. Another child is born. You know I do too. You know I do. Shortly after, small town Atkinson, Nebraska. By all accounts, a normal, healthy, happy kid at the age of four. He was well-versed in Husker lore, sang the songs of yore, and learned to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause in his deed, he gave the glory, and indeed, that pertains to my stories. By the age of five, he's struggling to stay alive. On a random April day, he's getting a helicopter ride. And it's not the fun kind, it's called a life flight. Desperate prayers sent from the night skies, having seizures of the mind, don't know why, God, why. I can't fathom or imagine what those trying times were like. For his parents crying urgent, the little guy to fight, looking in the eyes of the surgeon to see if he's alright. But every word he conveys just drains them when he tells them that a tumor surrounds his brainstem. So they needed a second opinion and some hope. Meanwhile, back in Lincoln, lifting weights and jumping rope. At the same time, was a young man named Rex who got a text from the associate athletic director, Keith Zimmer, who said, listen, son, we need a winner. There's a kid having a tough time. He could use a glimmer of sunshine like yourself to give him a couple minutes. Maybe a tour of war memorial or join his folks for dinner.
Yes, Rex humbly accepts. Steps to the plate, hits it out the park. I can't overstate the spark or the gift of the emotional lift. The renewed focus to know that it's not over. Word to Dr. Liliana Guamnerova.
Another child is born.
Husker Nation has him back all the way. And if you don't
another
know,
child is born.
Boom.
Another child is born. Another child is born. Another child.
I cannot find the words to quantify the love I have in my heart for my only child. And I must apologize, I know that this is not my thing, but it makes me wanna sing now. As we journey through these gates that we call life, I hope we recall that we all will be alright. So when I see y'all in the stands clapping your hands, or there's a tear in your eye, or you're slapping your pants, or it's your toes tapping, ladies asking to dance, I hope you're happen upon the happiness that was granted by the Most High. We inhabit this land of flat water, from one proud dad to another. Andy Hoffman, you understand that we're a band of brothers in this battle versus pediatric cancer, not just for the chance for advances. And our main man Jack recovers, but the promise that was made to all those way too young lost loved ones, a quick moment of silence. Now let's confront the situation as it stands, friends. We are gonna have to raise awareness, and yes, let's get the funds up and the prayers upstairs. I would never underestimate, and yes, I'll state we need to come together in alliance between deep faith and current science. And then, on a personal note, gotta get this song clear through compliance.